Blog Talk Radio.
It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Thank you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I've brought a great tune. Elon, thank you very much, guys. We really love that tune. And there is some thinking about the title of that tune, and all will be revealed as we move into the show. So let me start by saying good evening, good afternoon, and welcome. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And of course, the title of the show this tonight is English Defence League radio show, Nausea. Not the show, but there's a... That show is awesome, guys. Before I move on to read the script for this evening, which is been once again presented absolutely brilliant by my friend and colleague Dave Agnew-Milner, great slides as usual. So let me continue to read the script. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agnew-Milner. Tonight we will be discussing topics that have driven many people to the edge of nausea. BLM and Antifa violence, government lies and incompetence surrounding the Wuhan virus, and leftist election terrorism have left us all a bit ill. The cure is information, the facts and background that the corrupt ones are keeping from us. We will lay out the truth and settle our great listeners' terms. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. And I have heard that used on a few occasions this week as well. So it's quite obvious those words stand as well today as they did back in when he spoke those great words. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy, and how true words were said there. Without further ado, let me bring in my friend, my colleague, right across the pond, Dave Agnew-Milner. Good evening, my dear friend. How are you this afternoon? How are you, Opera?
Well, Jeff, a good evening to you, and a good afternoon to everybody in the States, and hello to everyone around the world, and of course, off Earth. Today, I'm just overwhelmed with all the news items that have just popped up. One story, which is a week old now, but it may be the biggest story involving the Wuhan virus to come out in the past 6 months. And before, we'll get into other stuff first, but just to run a little bit of a teaser, guys, four words: Wuhan virus concentration camps. Okay, those are the four words you need right there. So hopefully you'll stay tuned. But what we want to talk
it's
about
very ominous,
first
though,
here,
isn't it, for our listeners? They must be thinking, oh my goodness me, something behind that. And of course, we will reveal more as we go. And we just want to give you, the great listeners, a bit of a taste. Of course, there's a lot of facts that we'll be bringing to you, our great listeners, as the show unfolds. With that, though, let me pass it back to you, brother.
And thanks, Jeff. Right. And the first thing we want to get to, of course, is we want to wish all of our Jewish friends a happy and prosperous Rosh Hashanah. That begins tomorrow, of course. That is a Jewish New Year. And, of course, we want to wish them, as we want to wish everyone, a peaceful year upcoming. Now, for Jewish people, okay, for the Jewish calendar, it is going to be the year 5781. All right? So I always thought, Jeff, that was kind of cool, you know, because it makes me feel like I'm in the future, you know. But, yeah.
Like Star Trek, it sounds Star Trek. It's Star Day, it's blah, blah. It sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But to all of our Jewish friends, a happy and prosperous and peaceful Rosh Hashanah.
Amen.
Now, to get into the story that's big here in the United States, don't worry, guys, in the UK, we got you covered too. If we get to all of it, we got a bunch of stuff. Of course, Hurricane Sally in the United States has inundated the southeast with a whole lot of rain, and it's just been devastating. And there's another hurricane on the way. So,
Dave.
Yeah, that's going to be Hurricane Ted.
Is it in that same direction, or is it slightly going to go somewhere? I hope so, that it goes somewhere else.
I don't have the track of it, Jeff, but there are a few behind that. So this looks to be an active storm season. Give you a couple of websites where you can go if you live in the States and want to contribute, help out a little bit. First one is, of course, https://mercury1.org and another slash. Mercury One is using its own resources to back its own charity. In other words, every dollar that you send in gets used for the charity. None of it's going to be spent on administrative costs or any of that junk. So that's a good one. Another one that I have been using for the past few years as far as recommending them for storm relief and things of that nature, and so has Melanie Collette of Money Talk with Melanie, another great show on SHR Media, is 8 Days of Hope. Now, that one you can reach at https://8daysofhope.com and another slash. They actually help rebuild after these storms. So if you guys want to give a little bit to these efforts to kind of help these people out, this stuff has started, and it looks like it ain't going to end for a little bit. So if you guys can help out, please do. Okay? And, Jeff, just one, before we get in properly into the show, let me ask you, is there anybody in our chat room right now?
Let me see. Just flicking over there. Oh, it's all quiet, Dave. It's all quiet on the southern front, Bobby. We haven't got any of those boats coming across the sea at the moment. All's quiet there, Dave. Just let you know.
All right. Yeah, now, guys, we have been covering what has been going on with Abiy Yemeni and the anti-lockdown activities that have gone on in Australia, and the state of Victoria's response to that, which has been nothing short of totalitarian. Okay, and we do have some more information regarding that, and I will we will get into that now, okay, because there has been something new. There's been some new movement on that, and I'm going to go ahead and share that with you guys right now. This audio here from Abby is 4 minutes and 39 seconds, okay? And if you want to go, well, and I'll give you the exact title of it if you want to go and look for it and share it out, okay? But, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All right, this comes from the 16th, just from yesterday. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. This is Abiy Yemeni.
It was quite peaceful until...
But this guy here is going to be placed under arrest right now.
Well, I'm under arrest.
G'day guys, I'm here today at the Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the state of Victoria, to launch our fight back against what has become the out-of-control police state. The world has witnessed what's happening here, from unlawful arrests to police brutality, and of course, as you remember last week, the moment I was violently tackled to the ground, arrested, held against my will, and sent packing. Why? For doing my job, the crime of journalism. But today, we are taking it one step further, and I need your help to do it at standwithavi.com, because It's already cost $11,000 just to bring it here. We've got Madeline Smith, and for those of you who have been following me for a while will know that she has won every single politically motivated case that the police have brought against me so far. Now she's helping me take the fight to them, and she's brought on Peter Hamilton, who specializes in this specific area of law. Once we're in this court, we're likely going to need some heavy hitters to join our legal team. So you can imagine how this will easily cost over $50,000, which sounds like a lot, I know. But defending our freedom is priceless, especially when you're up against the state in here. So in summary, if you give me the tools to fight them at standwithavi.com, we will finish the job, but I cannot do it alone. Today, my legal team officially filed the court proceedings in this court against the state, and we're going after them for the unlawful arrest, the false imprisonment, the excessive force of tackling a journalist to the ground who posed no threat, aggravated and exemplary damages for the intimidation, including that creepy visit to my house with my children late at night. But this is not only about me. This is about taking a stand against tyranny and getting our state back. The government have gone unchallenged until now in eroding our civil liberties. My case is just the perfect one to spearhead this fight because it's so clear-cut. They arrested a journalist.
And the full 9-page, well-written and well-argued lawsuit that has been stamped by the Supreme Court and served on Victoria Police is now available at standwithavi.com, and I encourage you to read the full document.
You don't have to like me, my reporting. You can even oppose my entire worldview. But you must recognize the importance of not allowing the state to dictate what journalism is okay.
Putting him under arrest. But this guy here is going to be placed under arrest right now.
So if you're able and you're willing to pitch in what will inevitably be a very expensive battle, please go to standwithavi.com now. Every cent helps, and make sure to also share this campaign, because together, this very little David can and will beat the big Goliath. We have the truth, evidence, and the will to fight this all the way to the top for all of our sake. I just need some of your financial support because we know they're going to throw everything back at me. We're a small independent news outlet. We don't get $1 billion a year from the government like the ABC does. We're 100% viewer supported. So we have to ask because we don't just get to take it from your taxes without your permission. I'm going up against Dan Andrews and the state of Victoria. They have unlimited funds and literally hundreds of lawyers. So I need you at standwithavi.com now. Donate and share. And then watch this space.
And welcome back to the Internet City Radio Show with the host, Spider Missile Jeff. Your views.
Well, it's... Well, I haven't actually seen the video. I mean, he's not a very big man, Avi. You know, as I say, I think he's smaller than Tommy. I mean, to have him bundled on the floor, for what? I don't even can't understand what he was arrested for. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. He was just being a gist journalist and doing his journalistic thing. He's working for Rebel News. And basically, they infringed on his human rights. I look at it as far as that. They infringed on him, and basically, the state attacked him. That's it. The boot boys of the state attacked this young man. And basically, not only that, an intimidation of what happened there, which is pretty traumatic anyway, being bundled to the floor, but they... Then they decided to try to put the screws on him to come around and be there and try to intimidate him and his family. I think he's got a very good case. I just hope that people just check out the link and follow Avi, and whatever you can donate, it's going to go towards... It seems sad that we've got to keep fighting these cases like this, ladies and gentlemen, but if you're going to let them roll all over you and you don't do nothing, that's what they will do. So at least, Avi, and a lot of you great listeners out there, hopefully you'll take to his freedom fight and put the cosh and the screws on them, because they deserve it. This was, and in my eyes, although I'm a freedom fighter, I love freedom, it was outrageous. There you go. I'll just say one word. Outrageous what they did. The way they treated other people as well. And we've all seen the videos. There's been a lot that's coming out of Australia over the last couple of weeks, ladies and gentlemen. But, yeah, Dave, thank you. Thank you for that. Just glad that Abby's okay, though, because it's going to be traumatic, especially for his kids and that. For goodness sake, Dave. Can't believe these people, could you? Back to you, mate.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. And, you know, as our United States Navy flies over my apartment here, yeah, if you guys want to find this on the YouTube, so far it's on the YouTube, you know, get there to it fast, though, and either get yourself an audio copy of it or, you know, some other way, okay? It's on YouTube right now, for now, and the title is This Is Why I Am Suing Victoria Police for False Arrest and Assault. And yeah, it was assault, man. I mean, when you see the video of him being arrested, it is, you know, I mean, Abby, you know, I'm about 5.5 feet tall myself, okay? And that's about Abby's height, all right? And four cops. All he was doing was just standing there with his microphone doing his report. And four cops come and wrestle him to the ground. And then the video pans out. And you see a bunch of riot cops. Now, these people are dressed up like RoboCop or like they're on Starship Troopers or something. And they're surrounding the cops that are arresting Abby. Okay, this is just Eastern European. Again, I said it last time we talked about this, and I'll say it now. Totalitarian nonsense, and it's got to stop. And people always ask, well, what can I do to help with this? Because it all seems too big. But you have to work within the system, and that's what Abby is doing, just as Tommy Robinson did, okay? And win or lose, that's where you have to start, and that's what he's trying to do. So, guys, you know, grab that video and share it around, share the link to it around, whatnot, and help if you can. Okay.
You see, now, he's become a face now, a bit like, yeah, Tommy. He become a face that become this is the person we need to bring down. We need to put him under the spotlight a bit. We need to hunt him down, basically, like they've done to Tommy. That is exactly. Because, you know, Abby's been around a while now. I mean, don't forget how many times he's visited the UK in support of Tommy. The guy's travelled over the world to give support to Tommy. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, you know, a little bit of support for Abby in his fight. Because he is a true hardcore patriot. And we can't allow these things to happen to our patriots who are just there to report on what's going on. Basically, because the ABC won't report, that's Australian Broadcasting Company, won't report the facts and the truth, and it's independent journalists, so like Abby, with Rebel News, basically, you know, trying to report the facts, what's going on, and being thrown to the ground, arrested, basically released a bit late, and then they come around and hassled him at home. I think it's disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen these are tactics that we've seen in the UK for many years, as you all know. So what's happened to Abby, it doesn't come under, you know, it doesn't shock most of us who are patriots to understand. I mean, people have had their doors smashed in. Tommy Robinson, at one stage, had his doors smashed in, and he had guns. The police surrounded him with guns, and the kids were there absolutely petrified. Just think of that. Young kids, the door's being smashed in, and there's Tommy wondering what's going on, and there's police standing around with guns. This is how they think. You know, to treat you like you're a terrorist, and we're nothing like this. No terrorists are involved in what we do. This is, we speak out. We tell the truth. We are the truth tellers. And this is how you're treated, because it goes against their narrative. Would you like to comment on what you said, Dan? I think it makes a lot of sense. Well, what's going on? That is the reason why he's become a face out there. And they think, he's become too popular. We need to bring him down. That's how they do it. And what they've done with Tommy, and they're doing exactly the same with any Patreon. Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, Jeff. I mean, you know, you look at it over here in the States, you know, you've seen, Dinesh D'Souza put in jail. You've seen radio hosts like Dana Loesch just being threatened with death by burning people alive. You see all of this Antifa and BLM violence over here in the States. People can't even put a Trump sign and an American flag outside their house here now without having a group of BLM a-holes surrounding their house and threatening them. And if they just sit in a window with a shotgun, not even pointing it at anybody, those patriots wind up getting arrested. Okay, this is all part of a movement worldwide, not only, but basically to crush patriots worldwide and to basically say to everyone, you cannot defend yourself in your own home. You can't have any kind of independent journalism. You have to listen to the state media. Okay, you can't have any freedom of speech. You can't have any freedom of expression, anything of that nature. And Jeff, before I get into what has been out there for a week, but is really the biggest story regarding this Wuhan virus for the past 6 months. Is there anybody in the chat? I don't want to begin this without without checking on that, brother.
No, it's really quiet this evening, Dave. It's a Thursday, isn't it? Something we find a quiet evening sometimes. It's a quiet evening tonight. Maybe they'll come in at a certain time. You know, that's the way sometimes it happens. All of a sudden, before we know it, we've got two or three people sick.
Yeah, Dave. All right, okay. Now, if you want to get in the chat, of course, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. We podcast live Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern here in the United States. Just go to the top center search box and type in English Defense League Radio Show and follow the links. You'll get to our live show pages. It's going on, and if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can get in the chat, and you can have a nice talk with Jeff, and share your views. Okay, now I'm going to move on to the next story. This one's about a week old, but it's one that was uncovered by The Blaze, and I had to bring this because one of the things that Jeff and I talked about almost immediately, as soon as this Wuhan stuff broke, was the effect, the chilling effect that these Wuhan virus lockdowns have had, all right, on the freedom movements that were going on in 2000, started in about 2016, really, Jeff, was when they started, to 17, to 18, all right, and 2019, they were in high gear. We're talking about on every continent on the planet. You remember that, Jeff, when all that was going on?
Yeah. I remember that. Very much so.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, all that was going on, and we could tell that the lefties and, all their little minions were really kind of knocked back on their heels with all of these people in the streets, for freedom and the freedom demonstrators in Hong Kong. I mean, and by the way, Abiy Yemeni was there too. Okay.
Yes, he was.
I mean, it was a revelation. It really was. Okay, and then suddenly along comes this Wuhan virus. Now, and then came along the lockdowns. Okay, and whether China, released this virus on purpose or it was by accident is a moot point at this time. Okay.
It was intentional, Dave. This was on, show? The guy on Fox. He said he had a scientist on there who said it was man-made. The whole thing being man-made. And it was China that infected the world intentionally. And then she said it twice or three times, intentionally. So there you go. It's out there now. So go ahead, Dave. But, yeah.
Right. Well, again, that's never even really been a bone of contention for me, but just because I saw the effects that the lockdowns had. I mean, instantly, the streets were empty. At least a third of the planet was locked down. And now it's come around to mask mandates. And the thing is that more and more people are beginning to find out that the Wuhan virus is not nearly as deadly as it was made out to be early on. Okay? It's a bad flu. Yes, people die in a bad flu. Okay, they died in the Hong Kong flu in 1968. Okay, and they always die in a bad flu. They died during the Spanish flu. Okay, that was during and right after World War I. It's a bad flu. But people are beginning to realize the lockdowns weren't necessary. Masks aren't really necessary or anything like that. And you have an increasing number of people, Jeff and listeners, that are resisting this. I mean, certainly they're resisting this here in my neighborhood, in the old north end of Burlington, Vermont, okay, because people in my area have some common sense, okay? But Team Lockdown is fighting back, okay? We've got some good news at the end of the show if we get to it, but Team Lockdown is fighting back, and they're getting nasty, okay? This came out of, again, I just heard about this today, but I have this from Summit News by Paul Watson, okay? And this came out a week ago. Now, get this, guys. Quebec City says it will isolate, quote, uncooperative, end quote, citizens in secret corona facility. All right, now they're calling these quarantine facilities, okay, guys? But let's really call them what they are. Their concentration
camps. Camp, isn't it, Dave? We say concentration camps.
Sorry, yeah, Dave. Exactly. And they're in secret locations, and we'll get into that. But I want to read a little bit of this story, guys. But if you want to go looking for it, it is dated September the 9th, I believe it is, at Summit News. Okay, but let me just read this. All right, authorities in Quebec City, Canada, have announced move this over here a little tiny bit because this thing is messing me up. Okay, and I'm going to have to manipulate this a little bit because of stupid mouse over junk. Okay, there we go. All right, authorities in Quebec City, Canada, have announced they will isolate, quote, uncooperative, unquote, citizens in a Wuhan virus, I won't say coronavirus, facility, the location of which remains a secret. During a press conference, Dr. Jacques Girard, who heads the Quebec City Public Health Authority, drew attention to a case where patrons at a bar were ordered to wait until their Wuhan virus tests came back, but disregarded the command and left the premises before the results came back positive. That's the excuse. This led to them being deemed, quote, uncooperative, end quote, and forcibly interned in a quarantine facility. Now that's it's got concentration camp written all over it, guys. I don't care who you are. Okay? Now, let me read a little bit more of this here. We may isolate someone for 14 days, Gerard said, during the press conference. And it is what we did this morning, forced a person to cooperate with the investigation, and police cooperation was exceptional. So, of course, they're bringing the police into this. They'll bring local police into it, the RCMP, whoever they need. I read a little bit more. The health official then outlined how the state is also tracking down people for violating their home quarantine and forcibly removing them to the secret facility. This is creepy, people. Okay, I'm going to continue. Because we have had people isolated at home, and then we saw the person was not at home, so we went to their home and then told them, "We are isolating you where we want you to be," said Girard. Six other Quebec City bars known to have been frequented by Kirok regulars are now being examined by public health officials, reports the RAIR Foundation. All right? It should be noted that it is not being claimed that anyone is actually sick from the Wuhan virus. Now, that's interesting, guys, right there. Okay, but the state has the power to force a citizen into isolation anyway. As we previously highlighted, the government of New Zealand announced similar measures, saying that they will put all new Wuhan virus infected and their close family members in, quote, quarantine facilities. Oh my God, Jeff. Okay, if I thought it was creepy and bad and wrong,
very much,
I had no damn idea. Go ahead, brother.
Crap, didn't it? Go ahead. Sorry, Doug.
Holy shit, dude. Okay. Sorry, guys. I don't often curse, but no. Oh, okay. I had heard earlier that this was going on in New Zealand as well, but they're going to put family members in there as well, close family members in their concentration camps. Good God. Okay, Jeff, please comment, man. I'm going to shut up for a second. Please go ahead.
My comment is this feels familiar for what they're trying to do. Whole families put inside these camps. The thing was, we was only following orders, goes through your mind, isn't it, of what they're trying to do. And I mean, basically, there's got to be human rights issue here. You can't just put people away because you fear that they might have COVID, that they're getting. You can't just take away people's public, their rights. It's quite obvious they think they can, that they're the state, they're the tyrannical state, and that's what you see now. This is where tyranny comes into it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we've seen. And if you hear it in Dave's tone, you know, Dave is, this is even when he read that about whole families being put in. That's a shock. That is shocking. And I heard that in Dave's voice. And that's how sadly we've been there. We understand this situation. It's very dark. And people got to fight back against this. Your liberties, your freedom, your liberty is at hand. If you don't do something, you'll be banged away. God knows what they'll do to you when you're there. All this, keep you there for 2 weeks, this, that, and who's to say that it's 2 weeks? It could be any time. Once they put you under lock and key, wherever you might be, anything can happen to you, and normally does. Back to you, Doug. Let's say it's very, very worrying. It's probably one of the most worrying things that myself and Dave have come across for a long time. I mean, there's so many things out there that shock us, but this is, especially when you read a bit about the families, whole families being put in these, let's call it what they are, these are concentration camps, ladies and gentlemen. These are concentration camps. No matter how people try to sweeten it up, it's nothing more than a concentration camp. That proves how dangerous the world has become. Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff. Well, man, one of the things that we've always talked about is how the left is using the Wuhan virus and lockdowns and various mandates and things like that, like masks and whatnot, to control us, to chill the freedom movements going on. They don't have a problem with BLM rioters and people like that going out and breaking windows and looting businesses and burning them to the ground and beating people up and what. No problem with that at all. But if you go to a Trump rally, oh, that's a super spreader event. If you like to ride motorcycles and you go to Sturgis over here in the United States, okay, that's a super spreader event. It's a way for the left to control people. And guys, it's just a bad flu. That's all it is, and more people are finding that out, okay? But this is the limit. This is the freaking limit, okay? And I have to say, to my brothers and sisters in the United States of America, okay, President Trump hasn't been perfect every time, okay? But you got to understand, if you vote for Biden or if you stay at home, all right, you're not only voting for the riots. You're not only voting for... all of the violence that's going on. You're voting for that possibility. Do you really think that President Harris, and it will be President Harris within 6 months of the election if Biden wins, do you really think that President Harris won't do the same thing here in the United States that Trudeau is doing in Canada and what the girl is doing down in New Zealand? You really think that won't happen? Think about it, guys. We have to, and my brothers and sisters in the UK, don't let Bobo get away with doing this either. Jeff, you got a comment about this, brother?
Well, I agree with everything you said, Dave. You know, that sometimes there's a time to stand up and say enough's enough. And I think we're well past the stage for people to rise up. Rise up, guys. It's your time now. I've said this before, but the time is now at hand where you've got no choice. You know, you've got to stand and you've got to fight. Yes, it's worrying, it's concerning, because we all know the implications of taking the battle to them. You know, sadly, there will be casualties along the way, that's the thing, but we can't just give in to this tyranny and let it overcome us like a black cloud. Because they'll have us where they want us. You cannot allow this to happen. You cannot. As I say, the future of yourself and your family depends on what you do over the next couple of months or so. This is entirely down to you. But the future depends on you. The patriots out there, we depend on you to take the fight where it's needed the most. I say that, but I'll probably make it break in all laws and this, that, and the other. I don't care. The time is becoming... we're on a precipice now, isn't it? By the sounds of it, Dave, it really feels that way, that we're going down this horrible dark slide and we don't know what's going to happen, do we, mate? Time the people rise up. That's your day.
Hey, well, there you go, Jeff. This is really an important time. There's no lying about it. It's a very important time. And just if you hear that story, guys, it's just like if you've ever read Lord of the Rings, it always comes home to you. You know, you hear about this terrible stuff that goes on in other places, and then you come home to the Shire where you feel like you're going to be safe, and you find out that they burned down the party tree. You know, and they've messed up the whole place, and it's not home anymore because the outsiders, you know, the people who just want power, okay, who you thought were your friends and your neighbors, are just messing the place up, and it's not just the tyranny, okay? These people can't even get this stuff right. Okay, and I'm going to prove that. Jeff, do we have anything in the chat? Because I've got an audio you guys have got to hear from the 3rd of this month.
No, so it's quiet, Dave. It's quiet, mate.
All right. Okay, guys, now, give this here a listen. This is from the 3rd of this month. And this just shows that these guys don't have any idea what they're doing in these governments concerning this Wuhan virus. They're trying to treat it like it's a bubonic plague, and it's not. And with all of this verbiage that they put around it, they mess up. Okay, and here's an example of it. By the way, I want to say is an audio that is from. Okay, this is from WATN TV channel 24 in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, so guys, give us a listen here. This is from the night. This is the English Defense League radio show. This is going to be just about 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Basketball now to a local 24 News exclusive. A Shelby County man wants to know what is going on at the health department. His mother passed away 6 months ago. So why would he get a letter saying his mom is positive for COVID-19 and needs to self-isolate? It's a little late for that. The local I-team's Jenny DiPrizio is trying to get to the bottom of what went wrong.
Troy Whittington was sure surprised when he opened up a letter this week that came from the Shelby County Health Department.
I'm just having a hard time understanding how they can say someone has COVID-19 when they're not even alive.
Troy Whittington is baffled. This letter arrived from the Shelby County Health Department for his mother, Sandra Whittington. The letter says she's been diagnosed as COVID positive and needs to isolate. But according to her obituary, the 66-year-old died February 16th. That was weeks before the first case of COVID-19 was even detected in Shelby County.
It's been 6 months, almost 7, since she passed away. There was no testing that was done at that time. On her death certificate, it was stated what the cause of death was, and it was not COVID-19. It was COPD.
Whittington says when he called the health department, he was told she took a COVID-19 test June 20th, which was clearly impossible.
I tried to call the health department this morning, asked them why this is going on. She said she would have to get a supervisor. She was sorry for the mistake, or that she couldn't tell me any information until she got a supervisor, and I haven't heard back from them.
Whittington says this situation makes him question not only the Shelby County Health Department's COVID-19 statistics, but statistics across the country.
I would just like for the health department to be more accurate.
Whittington would also like to point out if his mom had been alive and tested positive in June, why did it take so long for the notification to go out?
We're talking 2 months later, she needs to be quarantined for 10 days. Well, we've already got 60 days from the time of the test to get the letter out to her, which is unacceptable.
A spokesperson for the Shelby County Health Department says around 5 o'clock this evening, the department director called the Whittington family to apologize. We're told protocols have been put in place, so something like this won't happen again. Jenny DiPrizio, Local 24 News.
There you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff?
Well, I mean, what can you say about that? It proves how they diagnosed her after she had died, and she hadn't even had a COVID test. So it's quite obvious that they've made a big boo-boo, but it does show them up that anything to put someone down as COVID-related death, and it was nothing to do with COVID. I tell you what, Dave, that's not the only case out there. There's probably thousands or maybe millions of cases that's gone on like that. People, just natural cause they died, and they decide to put COVID on the death certificate. How many times have we heard that now? We spoke about this for months. But it shows the incompetence of these people that Before you send letters out and say, yeah, this, that, and the other, shouldn't you get the facts, find out exactly what's going on before you send letters out there? I mean, this poor man, he'd lost his mother. I mean, and then come across a letter saying that they diagnosed that she's got COVID. I mean, she's been dead before the COVID actually kicked off. I mean, unbelievable, Dave. Your thoughts, mate. I mean, it's just baffling. It really is. And annoying, especially to that poor man.
Well, yeah, Jeff. I mean, you know, he's had to deal with the trauma of his mother dying, and that was in February. And, you know, I mean, having my own mother having died a few years ago, you know, it stays with you for a while. And you know, he's still getting over it, of course, you know. And then this dumb letter comes in, you know, and it just brings to the front what I've been saying. Okay, all along, not only have these governments, all of our governments, been lying to us about the numbers of deaths involved with the Wuhan. You pointed it out, Jeff. You know, someone can come into an emergency room shot through the head with half his head missing, and if he's still got a nostril and they stick a test thing up his nose and it comes out positive, you know, they'll say, oh, well, no, he died from the Wuhan. I mean, it's gotten that bad, and there has been case after case of that, of people. There's a difference between people dying with Wuhan and dying from the Wuhan, and that has been messed up and changed around by a lot of these states and national governments and people like that to try and pump the numbers up to make it seem worse than it is, to scare people and make them fall in line so that they can go for these mask mandates, and maybe they'll take these rushed out vaccines that they're coming up with and all this nonsense, man. And of course, now today, a lot of people are finding out about these concentration camps in Canada and New Zealand and who knows where else next. Okay. This sort of thing has got to stop. You know, do you have any more comments yet before we move on?
Yeah, no, we feel quiet at the moment, Dave. But it's very concerned. I've got to admit, it was when that was being read out, or you know, we was listening to the broadcast there, and I thought how bad this is that they can't be bothered to get the facts and decide that she was COVID. She needs to isolate, whatever. I mean, she's already passed away, for goodness sake. It has nothing to do with COVID. And I think it shows the total incompetence of these health things, establishments, Dave, that they can't get their facts and the truth right. I mean, it seems like it's just sort of bullshitting their way along. And unfortunately, people's opens these letters, and that's pretty hurtful. Well, I feel that man must have been devastated coming. What are you doing? I'd have been infuriated, Dave. I know you would have been as well, most people. But as I say, it's very dark what's going on, especially when you hear these Wuhan concentration camps going around now. This is the biggest worry. I mean, Dave told me earlier, we talked just before we come to the air, and he just mentioned that four words he said to me, and it was chilling, the effect it had on me, you know, and nothing surprised me, but even, you know, even a hardened guy like myself, you get that chill run down your spine. Did you get a chill down your spine, Dave, when you come across that? Because it sent a chill down my spine.
I certainly did, Jeff, and my apologies, man. I should have been watching the clock a little bit better. You may want to call back in. You're about 4 minutes past your time. As you do, I'll comment a little bit further before we move on.
Oh, no, I'm okay. I'm back just on it, sorry. So, yeah, I've got a call back, but I'm not past me. I'm not past myself by a day.
Well, that's good.
I'll give a call back. Hey, cheers, buddy.
Cool, man. All right. Yeah, Jeff is going to call back, guys. And in the meantime, Yeah, we've all seen this with over the years. We've all seen stories of government incompetence and things like that, and all this other stuff. We've seen it. It's not new. But when it comes to this, when it comes to the Wuhan virus, the very thing that our governments have wanted us to close ourselves up in our homes about and run away and hide and be afraid of other people and wear masks and wear face shields and wear gloves in some cases and just jump through all of these hoops and all of it for a bad flu. And what does it amount to? Okay, what it amounts to in real terms for us, what it amounts to is they're not allowing us to create that herd immunity. You know, it's funny. Welcome back, Jeff. Joy Behar, or as I call her, Joyless Face Snore, on The View said earlier on when the anti-lockdown demonstrations began here in the States, they asked this question rhetorically, what do they want to infect other people? And yes, Joy, sweetie, I can answer that question. The answer is yes. And I say yes because it's just a bad flu. And again, some people die from a bad flu. But you have to get over that hump. When you do, almost everyone else is going to be hardened against it. And you're not going to have trouble with it again. But all of this idiocy that our governments have made us go through for the past half year, and now they're putting up concentration camps because they're still doing it, okay, it is doing nothing to help us reach the herd immunity, which we need to, so that our bodies will naturally fight this Wuhan virus back. Now, Jeff, if there's nothing in the chat, I want to play an audio that has a little bit of good news. You haven't seen the chat yet?
No, it's all quiet at the moment. Hang on, Dave. Just check again. I've just come out of bed sitting. I'm just jumping back. No, it's all quiet, mate.
Cool. All right. Now, guys, this comes from Pat Gray Unleashed, okay? He has his show on The Blaze. Check it out. You can subscribe to it, blah, blah, blah. You probably should. It's one of the better shows, but this particular one is a story that is a little bit of good news, at least over here in the States, because not every government official is going along with Team Lockdown. This here is going to be just under 3 minutes. Check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
By the way, some good news, though, here. Federal judge just ruled Pennsylvania lockdowns are unconstitutional. He ruled in favor of several Pennsylvania counties that filed a lawsuit against Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine over coronavirus restrictions and the state order to close all non-life-sustaining businesses. Wow, are they still under that order? U.S. District Judge William S. Stickman IV wrote in his 66-page opinion filed yesterday that Wolf's restrictions violated the First Amendment right to freedom of assembly and the due process and equal protection clauses.
I love this guy.
Fantastic.
I looked this guy up. You know, like you said, a Trump appointee, federal judge in Pennsylvania, 41 years old. Keep your eye on William Stickman.
Wow. So here's his ruling. The court closes this opinion as it began, by recognizing that defendants' actions at issue here were undertaken with the good intention of addressing a public health emergency. But even in an emergency, the authority of government is not unfettered. The liberties protected by the Constitution are not fair-weather freedoms, in place when times are good, but able to be cast aside in times of trouble. Thank you.
Thank you, right?
There is no question that this county has faced and will face emergencies of every sort, but the solution to a national crisis can never be permitted to supersede the commitment to individual liberty that stands as the foundation of the American experiment.
A judge using the phrase individual liberty. Thank you, sir.
The Constitution cannot accept the concept of a new normal where the basic liberties of the people can be subordinated to open-ended emergency mitigation measures. Rather, the Constitution sets certain lines that may not be crossed, even in an emergency. Actions taken by defendants cross those lines. It's the duty of the court to declare those actions unconstitutional. Yeah. Thus, consistent with the reasons set forth above, the court will enter judgment in favor of the plaintiffs.
Woo-hoo-wee.
A brilliant and dead-on ruling.
It's common. I mean, it's just a constitutional argument, is all the judge laid out.
Yep.
And yet, it's, as you would say, manna from heaven.
No kidding. Absolute. Manna from heaven. Because it's so rare right now.
Oh, yeah.
So very, very rare to get a ruling like this that makes complete sense to you and to any constitutional lover.
And welcome back to the Inner Domestic Radio Show. Here's Jeff Spider Mitchell.
Well, thank you, President Trump, for the great judge that you put into that place. Thank goodness that you're the president and you haven't got the scatty ones there, because that would have ruled totally different, wouldn't it, Dave? Quite obvious that the Constitution played a big part in this gentleman's summing up. And well done to that man. Well done to him. And thank you, President Trump. That's more like it, isn't it, Dave? Thank you, bruv.
Uh-oh. Definitely, definitely. I mean, that's another reason to vote for President Trump, is these good judge appointments. And, of course, all of our countries have constitutions, okay? But what this judge said in part of his ruling is really apropos, especially during this Wuhan virus situation that we have, okay? There may be outbreaks. There may not. Again, this is a form of a flu. Okay, and they're going to be out, right? Part of it is because of these dumb lockdowns and this other crap that we should have never done in the first place. But the freedoms and liberties...
Well, it's proved unconstitutional, Dave. It's quite obvious that this judge has made a judgment, and other judges will do the same, as long as they're not democratic judges, because that will fall on deaf ears, wouldn't it, Dave? It's Democrat judges, as we all know, Dave, so... good. Thank goodness. I mean, there's a good rule in there, and that is a bit of a land point to look towards when the future judgments come up on these things, Dave. Because there probably will be a lot more, won't there, Dave?
As I was saying, okay, he pointed out in his ruling that the freedoms and liberties that we have, and this should be true in all of our countries, the freedoms and liberties that we have are not just there when times are good. You're going to run into hard times, and it doesn't matter where you live. It can be the UK, it can be the States, it can be Australia, Canada, New Zealand, it can be in South America, it can be in China. We've got a couple of listeners in China. It can be in Taiwan, it can be in Hong Kong. It doesn't matter. It can be in Africa, okay? If your countries have constitutions that recognize human rights, and civil rights, okay, then they should apply all the time. There should never be a time when some tyrant like this Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania can come along and say, we got a situation here, so, yeah, your freedoms and liberties, bag that. I'm going to start running your life now. There should never come a time like that. And I want to remind people also, it's a victory for now, but Wolf wants to try and get a stay on that order, and he wants to try and get it reversed. He's going to appeal it. So we'll see what happens. But for now, this nonsense in Pennsylvania has got to stop, because, Bill the Stick gave a great ruling. And by the way, that's the name that Jeff gave him, Bill the Stick. Nice one, Jeff. We're going to move on now, guys, and we're going to move into something that's not about the Wuhan virus. My God, people, I don't think Jeff nor I intended for this show to be about the Wuhan virus. There are other issues going on. obviously. I mean, just on multiple levels. And I don't think either of us intended for this to be about the Wuhan virus.
I think it's affected simply because people like Ade, who are in opposition to lockdown, has been taken, you know, was brought down, arrested for no reason at all. So, yeah, no matter what, I mean, the woo-hoo crap is playing a big part in some of our patriots' lives. So, you know, it's quite obvious that we're going to talk about it because it's affected, you know, patriot friends of ours, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it is, Jeff. It is. It's a great point. Great point. And that was what, I would have gotten around to that because, yeah, I mean, I kind of think God led me to this, led me to this and Jeff to this as well. You know, we have to talk about this stuff now. When a story comes out like the one about the Wuhan virus concentration camps, we have to talk about it. And we had other things involved with it. But we do have a couple of other stories. We may be able to actually close the show out a little bit early today. You never know. But we do have a couple of other stories, and one of them's a story specifically involving the UK. So our UK brothers and sisters, yeah, this isn't just a story about other countries. It's a story about the UK, and this one I know is one that sets Jeff off, and honestly. Knowing circumstances and things about it sets me off a bit, too. And I'm an American, so there you go. Now, this here comes out of the Daily Mail, all right? And I'm just trolling around. Okay, this is dated day before yesterday, okay? And it's about one of our favorite piñatas overall. I say it over here. On the show. And, by the way, it's by Dan Sales and Jeff Wright for the Mail Online. Okay, so let me read this headline here. Let's see. How can BBC justify these obscene salaries? Fury as corporation pledges reform while staff pay soars 3.5% to 1.53. No, okay, yeah. I had to read this figure twice, guys. 1.53 billion pounds, despite stripping 1.5 million pounds over 75s, or excuse me, despite stripping 1.5 million over 75s of their free TV licenses, as bosses boast of closing gender pay gap. Okay. This is just diabolical, guys. Okay. Now, let me read these bullet points here. Zoe Ball is now the highest earning star at the BBC for her Radio 2 role. All right? Jeff, we're in the wrong business, man. Okay, next bullet point. Pundit Gary Lineker.
Lineker.
Yeah, Lineker, there you go.
Lineker,
sorry, Jeff.
Okay,
there you go. Okay, was previously topped with salary of 1.7 million pounds a year. He actually got a pay cut, guys. Next bullet point. But 1 minute, after accounts were revealed, BBC announced his pay cut. There you go, guys. Next bullet point. Overall, the BBC wage bill has increased from last year to 1.5 billion pounds. That's obscene. The last bullet point. BBC have decided to stop giving near 4 million over 75s free TV licenses. They're still not doing that, guys. They're still not doing it. I'm going to read just now. I put this in the slides. At the Ingrid Spencer Radio Show page here at blogtalkradio.com. I almost said Spreaker. And this will just give you guys who are familiar with these names in the UK an idea of where these guys' salaries are. Okay, the Lineker Wanker, all right, he got a pay cut. He's down 400,000 pounds, but he still makes Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it, Jeff? He still makes £1,350,000 a year. I'm not going to get that kind of a pay cut. Okay, the only other one that got a pay cut here on this graph, at least, is a guy named Hugh Edwards. He's down £25,000 a year. He makes $469,000. Yeah, I know, Jeff.
Don't your heart bleed for these poor people? These poor rich people, Dave.
Yeah, it's tough, man. He only makes £469,999 a year. That's all the dude gets. Jeff, I hope he can pay his light bill. You know what I'm saying? That's terrible.
I don't know. They might reimburse him for that, Dave. You know, the upper class thing. They might decide to pay his electric bill, things like that. It's minuscule what he's getting. Minuscule what?
How do they expect anybody to live on that? Okay, Zoe Ball, of course, we just read about her, and I could make a few jokes, but we don't have time. Graham Norton, £729,999, and that's an increase. All these are going to be increases. Steve Wright up to $479,000. Okay. All right, and let's see, let's go over here. We've got three or four more. Okay, and let's see here. Fiona Bruce, I think, $454,999. Vanessa Feltz, $409,999. Lauren Laverne, okay, I think that is $399,999. Alan Shearer, $394,999. Stephen Nolan, £394,000 even. Okay. honestly, guys, I would take a tenth of that. I'd be happy. But if you're over 75 years old, you now have to pay for your TV license in the UK if you want to look at the BBC and all that. Jeff, please give your comments, brother. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, as I say, when you read out who's getting this, who's had a pay cut here, who's had a pay cut there, the poor old age pensions ain't got one say about anything. They decided to cut their thing so they could pay part of their bill towards these other people that they pay. I think it's disgusting, it's degradable, and whatever you want to verse even, I look at it like that because they are. It's disgusting. To treat old age pensions, 75-year-old people, it's probably fought in wars and that, and just to, think that, you decide to take away their free viewing thing. That is why so many people now have turned their backs on the BBC and not paying their licence fees. There's so many people now that they will be defunct over the next few years. You wait and see. They will go down the pan, especially when you realise that some poor old people just can't afford to put food on their table. You know, getting a free watch bit of TV is a bit of the only outlet they get. But now you take that away from them, how are they going to afford to pay the TV licence and put food on the table? I think it's disgusting. The BBC, you should hang your heads. They won't hang their heads in shame. They are shameless. They are a bunch of paedophiles. That's where they are. They will never answer that fact. They don't care. That's it. They only care about their lovies and all that and stuff the rest of the community and the rest of the country. So the BBC, my middle finger, you can spin on it.
Back to
you, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff.
I'm sort of not as aggressive as I normally am, but sometimes, I can't be bothered to waste my breath on these people, Dave, because they just make me sick. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes you nauseous, doesn't it, Jeff? Just like the show title, it makes you nauseous. And it makes me nauseous, too, that people have worked all their lives and everything. But I got to say it, this is a failure of socialism, too. Socialism works great until it doesn't work. And this is one of the places where it doesn't work because the elites always want more money. Guys, again, you know, whatever country you live
blood
in, but particularly in the United States. Yeah, particularly if you live in the United States, guys, okay? If you're voting for Joe Biden or, you know, the Harris-Biden administration because you want socialism and you think that socialism is going to take care of you, look at this as an example, okay? Because there's always these elites at the top in these socialist administrations, and they get all of the gravy. But the moment it becomes a little bit inconvenient for them or the moment that they want a little bit more, guess who gets to suffer? It's the most vulnerable people. So if you're thinking about voting for Biden-Harris, think about that. Think about the reward that those old-age pensioners now, those people over 75 years old in the U.K. now get for voting for some of these people. Okay? Now, Jeff, I'm
so right about the socialism part, Dave. Bang on. I hope you don't mind. I didn't mean to jump in, but well said there, Dave, about the socialism. This is where you see socialism not working, especially where old age pensions are concerned. They are the most vulnerable in our society, Dave, as we all know. To treat them with it's disrespectful, Dave. It's totally disrespectful. It's putting their middle finger up to the old elderly and saying, tough, get on with it. And that, to me, is out of order. Back to you, Dave.
You're completely right, Jeff. You're completely right. Because those elderly people who, again, worked all their lives to help support the society in the UK are now useless as far as the masters, as the rulers of the UK and their elite buddies are concerned. So, you know, to hell with them. You know, we're going to pander to the younger people with our crap programming and pay off the elites. And the old people can just pay money to watch us put out
the world's
horrible
watching, Dave. I hope the world's listening to what we speak about, how they are treating the elderly in this country. The BBC, it was one time they used to be very popular around the world. That standing is falling way by the wayside now. And it's got obvious. The world has woken up to what they're really about. Greedy, blood-sucking paedophiles, a lot of them. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, totally right, Jeff. And I hope the world is paying attention to this. And guys, if you happen to get this, you're listening in archive or something, share it around. Share the show around. Because that's a great example right there of failure of socialism. Now, we've got one more story here, Jeff. And this one is just embarrassing. It should be embarrassing for the people who did it, okay? This is one that came out from the Blaze, all right? And this was just disgusting. Of course, we all remember what happened. This comes from September the 14th, by the way. We all remember what happened with Tommy Robinson when he was running for MEP and state-sponsored terrorism there. The police leading the Mohammedans in, who started throwing rocks at people just at campaign rally, a peaceful campaign rally, including children, and of course Tommy Robinson did.
Yeah, women,
Tommy
children,
Robinson.
And men.
Yeah.
It was just disgusting. But sorry, Doug.
Yeah, no, you're right, Jeff. You're right, Jeff. Yeah, and Tommy Robinson did what a typically Tommy Robinson thing. The van that was supposed to take him around and take him out of that particular neighborhood, all right, he made sure that the children were bundled into it and they were taken away to safety, all right. But this, guys, we've been warning you all along that this was going to drift over to the United States, and it has. There have been various stories now about how pro-Trump people have been attacked in the United States and things of that nature. And this is one more example of it. This comes from the 14th. Okay, and there's a picture of this little girl, again, on the Ingrid Spetsnaz radio show page. All right, you can see it. And it says, eggs allegedly thrown at children during a rally supporting President Trump. Okay, this is what the Democrat Party represents. Yes, I would totally agree with that, by the way. And this is, of course, to say, this comes from the Blaze. I'm going to read. final story, guys, okay? And this comes, by the way, by Dave Urbanski. Okay, that's who this story is by. All right, Delaware State Police on Monday told the Blaze that during a Republican political rally Sunday outside the Crossroads Restaurant in Wilmington, three males, I'm glad they called them males and not men because men don't do stuff like this, between the ages of 20 and 25, drove by and threw eggs at the crowd standing near the roadway. All right? Okay. Police said three children and three adults were struck. No injuries were reported and no arrests have been made amid the active investigation. I'm going to scroll down just a little bit more here. All right. Okay. Lauren Witzke, a Republican candidate from Delaware for U.S. Senate, hosted the evening supporting President Donald Trump. Witzke posted a video on her Twitter page, which you guys can see. They've got a link there on the story. Okay. That, she said, showed the aftermath, including a little girl with eggshells in her hair and a little boy with egg on his shirt. Okay? I wanted to show you what these hateful liberals did to a little child, Whiskey said in the clip as the video camera focused on the top of the girl's head. They drove by and they threw eggs at little children. Okay, and that really pretty much is the story. Guys, again, you can find this. I did not use the audio from the video that she made. I looked at it, but it was just too much background noise for it to really be readable here on the show. But there it is. Jeff, what are your comments on this final story here?
It's not surprising. We had that happen to a kid who got a little girl who got a hit. Going back a number of years ago in Brighton, it was, I think it was St. George's Day, and people were marching through Brighton and enjoying themselves, had their families with them, and they were attacked by the anti-fascist lot, and a little kiddie got a bad cut on her head. Through this, so no, it's not surprising at all. It's the tactics they use. They are thugs. They're animals. Whatever you would have known, you can't even call them animals. They're scuzz buckets. That's what they are. Nothing more and nothing less. And to attack children, which they did at Brighton and they did at the Beltway there as well. It's despicable. And the thing about it is, Dave, you have got a president, I'd say, in not too distant future, who is for law and order. Joe Biden says totally the opposite. He don't really give a monkey's about law and order. That's it. He doesn't even know what law and order is. And nor does the other thing that is, Harris, she don't care about that. But you have got a president that cares about law and order, and I'm sure that if President Trump is elected, which I feel quite sure in my heart that he will be, because it's common sense. You don't want to go down that dark path of the with Harrison Biden ticket. You're not going to go nowhere fast. That's all there is to it. They're losers straight off, and so will you be, our great listeners out there. But Dave, I will say one thing. That there are a lot of common sense, the silent majority out there are going to do a lot of voting on that day. So we'll see how this all pans out. But Dave, once again, thank you so much for... it's been one of those shows tonight where we've had so many things in front of us to talk about. And I think we've done most of it. I don't think we've missed anything tonight. We, Dave, back to you.
Now, Jeff, we pretty much covered it all, just in a different order because we went to get that Wuhan stuff in first. But, yeah, just to give you guys a little heads up concerning the violence that's going on here in the United States. Kamala Harris said, no, the violence hasn't stopped and it should not stop. So that tells you where her head is at. okay? So if you want that, yeah, then go ahead and vote for them, okay? Because you never know when you're going to be next, okay? Something that I heard about that occurred, with the BLM rioters, they, they blocked a bus full of sports reporters who were going in to cover an NBA game, and these people actually support BLM. So they're so out of control that they're even attacking people that support them. Okay? So, you know, that's insane. But, Jeff, I want to thank you. Man, you know, working with you is always good. And I think we did. This was a really good and informative show. I hope people will share this out. I appreciate you very much. I'm just going to do my finals now. Everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. All right, I'm also available on the Western Free Radio Network and through SHR Media. And tonight I will be on with Ken McClinton, yeah, on the Exceptional Conservative Show. That's TECNTV.com. And that is going to be in the United States at 9 p.m. Eastern. And in the U.K., that's going to be tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. All right, and we're gonna have a little bit of talk about this and that. Stuff involving the United States. Ken's a great commentator. We love him on this show. Okay, I'm also available, on social media. That's right, I'm Dave Milner or Agador on MeWe, Minds, Mumble It, Parler. Don't spend a lot of time there because Parler kind of sucks, but still in there. Spreely. All right, and USA Life. And I'm always Agador on Gab. And I want to say to the foot soldiers, the angels, the freedom fighters, everybody out there that's sick and tired of being sick and tired and had enough, keep on doing what you do, guys. Freedom and liberty are worth fighting for, and in the end, we will win. So everyone, be prosperous, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender ever. Jeff, take us home, my friend.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah, I'd say we are just closing the show out now. I've got the lads ready to go. We'll see you again this Sunday. So you take care, stay safe. We'll see you soon. We'll see you this Sunday with more great stories and things that we talked about this evening. So with that, from myself and Dave, from everybody associated with the English Defence League Radio Show, and of course the great organisation of the EDL, we'll see you soon. With that, we're going underground. Take it away, boys.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade, and I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My nuclear tanks are far from its right, and the public gets what the public wants.
that's come to the end of another episode of the radio show. I say we'll be back again this Sunday. So, once again, thank you all very much for being there, whatever device you want. We do appreciate you. I know you catch us on our podcast too, so thank you all so much. So, with that, I'd just like to say, this is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight, but we'll see you again this Sunday. God bless you all. Bye-bye.